Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of the Blind Bargains Cast. I am Joe Steinkamp here with my good friend JJ back in Michigan, right? Maybe?
I forget sometimes. Yes.
Oh, okay. So this time you are in a place that is known to you, eating food that is not strange to you. So
AT,
welcome
guys.
Home.
Well, actually, that hotel is pretty well known to me at this point, too. I've been there three different times. But no, welcome to episode 59. Good to be back here in Kalamazoo, at least for the moment. Couldn't think of much. We're getting the numbers that don't have meaning. Well,
no, 59 really kind of doesn't for
59
me.
59 has a Wikipedia page. Did you know every number has a Wikipedia page? I didn't.
I was unaware of this.
Praseodymium. Oh, I totally butchered that. That's the atomic number of element 59.
Uh-huh.
What else do we have here? Oh, Satchel Paige, the oldest baseball player to play at age 59. Well, so you can Wikipedia 59 and learn more.
The average points scored by Mr. Curry on the Houston Rockets. No, I'm kidding. One of my favorite tweets I had on my tweet feed this week was, did you know that the Houston Rockets are in the NBA playoffs thanks to the Make-A-Wish Foundation? And there we go. That's my sports bit for this week.
It seems like they didn't know they were in the playoffs either.
But. No, but my hearts, our hearts and prayers and thoughts go out to those in South Texas during the floods at the current time that we are recording. Unfortunately, 15 inches or more of rain has hit the southern part of Texas, especially within the Bayou region, and a lot of parts of Texas that I am well familiar with are currently underwater, if not flooding more, and they're unfortunately going to expect more rain over the next couple of weeks. This sounds like I said this last year. Actually, I did, but it was we're about a month early for monsoon season in the Gulf Coast.
It's been a little crazy, and I know we have some international listeners. We had two crazy earthquakes, one in Japan, one in Ecuador. So if you have friends or family in those areas, just a lot going on. Hopefully everyone tries to stay safe as possible. And while we're doing that, we can hopefully maybe bring a little joy and enlightenment to your day or week. Right.
And stay in touch with your friends and family, because you never know, man. You just never know. Nope. And that's why you have to be able to keep up on things and research and stay on top of it. And you could do that with our friends over at Mystic Access.
They have released a whole bunch of tutorials. They've been going crazy with them. They put out one on the Echo. They have one on VoiceStream. So I know we're getting Kim. I'm not sure who else is coming with her, but we have some of the people from Mystic Access coming in a little bit later on the show to talk about tutorials, what they have, what's coming. I believe there's one for the Braille Note coming as well. That would actually be free for Braille Note users and more. So we'll stay tuned for that a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah, it's going to come up sooner than you think, because you know what? There is not much news after having a whole slew of news to catch up on.
No Jaws update this week?
No, that's very, very telling, isn't it, that there isn't. But there is a bunch going on over at NV Access. The NV Access Con is coming up, and they've already posted some of what's going to happen. So one of the things that makes it hard to switch from one screen reader to another is learning a new set of keystrokes, a different philosophy, maybe even a whole different way the virtual buffer interacts with whatever you're trying to interact with. It looks like we have one of the big things that people usually say, oh, I can't learn a new screen reader. They have training material. One of the hardest things to be able to find for NVDA really is someone who's good at training or being able to use some of the help documentation. It looks like this barrier is going to be removed with a training session type thing.
The thing about training, not only does this help users learn about NVDA, it also helps trainers more easily ramp up on what's going on with NVDA. So, you know, it's very, very affordable. It's first available in electronic text. They say they're going to have audio and other versions coming out later on, which would be useful as well for people who prefer it in those formats. So definitely good to see more training materials, because, you know, the training was the one, and voices. Those are the two things that I've heard most often. Like, oh, I don't want to switch to NVDA because, and both of those things are now taken care of. The training is there, and by the way, the voices are there. We just picked up the Code Factory Eloquence and Vocalizer NVDA add-on, we as an AT guys. So speaking of all of that, lots going on.
Add-ons?
With NVDA. Yes.
Add-ons?
Add-ons too, yes.
NVDA add-ons. So you were looking into this. It looks like there may be a community-based add-on Twitter feed or following.
Yep, this is just NVDA add-ons, all one word on Twitter. It's being run by Derek Reamer, who is one of the NVDA community members. So he's running this and intends to tweet about add-ons and updates as they come out. So we'll see how that goes. You know,
looks as far like they're as hiring someone too over at NVDA land in the Australia area.
You got to be in Australia, and that's because of their nonprofit status. It's nothing to be discriminatory or anything. It's just how it is. But if you're a programmer in Australia or you want to move there, maybe you can make that work. And you can work for NVDA. And this all ties together with this NVDA con that Joe mentioned coming up towards the end of April. This is actually going to be held on a voice chat server remotely. And we'll get an article up on our site at some point.
Celebrating 10 years.
Yes. 10 years.
That is...
Congratulations. It's really cool.
Wild. That is just wild. I've not been using it for the full 10 years. I think I came along kind of... maybe 2 or 3 years.
Many commercial screen readers haven't lasted 10 years.
No. Well, last week, you know, we were kidding before we started recording that, there've been several others that have come and gone. Thunder and Lightning, very, very frightening. And of course, Cobra, there's another one that you might remember vaguely. Yeah. There've been a couple of that have tried to come along in that same kind of vein and not held in there. So congratulations, guys.
Congratulations. Amazing. It is pretty cool. You know, every so often, though, one of these almost forgotten things comes back.
Isn't that the case with, say, maybe WebVism?
What? Yeah, WebVism. Now, WebVism is the CAPTCHA solver for Firefox, especially. So those of you who, you know, the CAPTCHAs, those little gobbledygooks of visual text, and then you type in the code. And some will tell you that, oh, you could have always used WebVism if you stay on Firefox, whatever it was, 42 or whatever.
42, 45,
if you hack the settings or whatever, a whole bunch of possible methods that all pretty much lowered your security, which is not a good idea. So James Scholes, the same person that brought us Codex, has done a at least slightly updated version. I guess it's still using the current servers. So, I mean, it's at least it's a working fix for now. Some people say
that it's giving inconsistent results, and it could be that what it is interacting with is either bigger and bulkier than what the server was for, or that there's intermittent connection to the server. But I mean, it works still.
Possibly.
It might not be completely reliable 100% of the time for what you're trying to do, we have here on the article.
And we have choices. You know, you have that. There's the Remola thing that's out there. And of course, Capture Be Gone is apparently still in beta. So there are, depending on what you're looking to do, there are different choices out there. And at least WebVism has a bit more, possibility, I guess, if you want to try to get it to use. There at least is a way you can use it without being stuck on an old version of Firefox, which is never a good idea. Long way
since Salona, haven't we? Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, also in the past and has returned is the form factor of the 4-inch iPhone. You might have heard us talking about that shortly with Shelley Brisbane right after CSUN. And we had a couple of good conversations about what is and isn't fragmentation. Shelley was right as usual. So there you go. But some have gone out and said, I really prefer the form factor of this. And I've seen some people online have already made the switch over, depending on, you know, the free phone plan that you might have or something to that effect. Basically, what we're looking at now is if you have a desire to move, maybe you don't want the iPhone 7. We'll know more about that, of course, in September. Or maybe you were a holdout. You decided you didn't want one of the larger phones and you've been sitting there making your 5 and 5S last as long as you possibly can. Well, the 5 and 5S form factor is what is in the SE. And Scott did a really good job here talking about the differences between the two phones. Naturally, one of those being the 3D touch, which is a big thing for some people. We have an actual comment in the article here at blindbargains.com from Dark Nexus saying that Dark Nexus likes the 3D touch factor. And so dropping down to the SE would be a back pedal for him. Rather than staying with, you know, that kind of thing. I know the new camera has been very good for a lot of people. The battery life is what I've been reading. A lot of people saying is that they didn't realize that when they would go to the new SE, they'd be giving up a bit in battery, not in performance, but just how big the battery actually is.
I don't get how you would not realize that, though. I mean, a battery is largely a function of the size of the phone. And that's much of what the back is. So I would definitely assume right away. And I guess it depends on the report you read if the battery is really less or not. And then what's to do with no fingerprint reader, right? On this one either? No Touch ID or is it? It's the old. It's there. I'm sorry. It's there, but it's the older style of it. It's not the newer style Touch ID.
But it's great if you have older cases that you didn't get rid of, because then you can just slide.
Hey, all your 5S cases work again.
And your screen protectors, as you noted last week.
Yes, the screen protectors are fitting the OtterBox cases that we have, and anybody or any other cases are going to work. I think it's a tiny bit thicker, but it's so negligible that it's not going to matter. So you are fine. And you can read all about that, as well as everything else over on blindbargains.com. And you can check out, we're doing some more articles and feature stuff. Scott's been doing an awesome job with that. So definitely go over and check that out.
What you won't be doing is listening to us on Google Play Music just yet with the podcast. So the vaunted support has come out for the web and Android. And not iOS as of yet at the time of this recording. So the Google Play podcast is now live for some, and it is rolling out across. And yes, we are there. And it's just another way you can actually get us. So that's another one. So we got the Fire OS and tablets and Kindles and Alexa. And now we have Google Play. And
by the way, of course, you can always
listen to us on podcast.
We have people do it on iTunes. Follow. You can click follow on TuneIn, and you can click follow on Google Play as well.
Yeah, it's more sticky that way.
And it's not going to make you download the episode again or anything. It just will show you as a follower, and that certainly will help us
out. And then you can rate it as well.
I don't think they have ratings on Google. I didn't see it there yet.
For some who are into the Google Plus ecosystem, you could like us on Google Plus. Oh, you could plus one us.
That's for a few people. I didn't see ratings yet, but maybe Sochin, I missed them.
You know,
maybe he's into maybe, it. Victor, maybe on the Android app you can rate. I haven't looked over on that side yet.
Yeah, so there's a fragmentation a little bit there, but it is coming along very swiftly, because we heard that there will be, of course, more about this coming up at the I.O. conference. Apple, of course, also announced with Siri that they have WWDC coming up on June 13th through the 17th. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we should learn a lot about what's going on as far as Apple is concerned. They revamped the developer website and some of the materials and docs over there. They also said goodbye to QuickTime for Windows, officially. End of life for Windows QuickTime. Seems like I missed the note on Safari for Windows. That must have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess
long,
so.
Long, long time ago. They could only do it for iTunes. April Access World is out now with
articles. There's lots of Mac in here. I'm looking through. Hey, it's a CSUN review from Shelley.
Yeah. That's an Gear of Braille. Wow.
Hey, where'd that come from? Awesome.
That seems oddly familiar. No, Shelley's awesome. And definitely go read her article. And Jamie Pauls has an article up there and more. So the April Access World is available. Remember, they have an app as well that you can grab from the Apple App Store if you want to be able to read it through their app.
Hey, this is a book I had not heard of called My Mac Pages. Apparently, it's a book about voiceover and pages, and it's getting really good reviews. It's an article from Bill Holton in here, an article about David Woodbridge, some audio game stuff. Always cool to have game content and much more. And so really always cool to see stuff in Access World, especially stuff that, I know they're doing a good job when it's a whole bunch of stuff that I haven't and you haven't heard about before. So they're digging deep and finding some really cool stuff. So you can definitely watch out and read the latest version of that.
So we got two here at the end, and Survey of the Week and more DVS content. Which one do we want to tackle first?
What's the DVS content? I know the Survey of the Week thing.
So okay. I thought we were talking about Australia ABC again.
That's all one story.
Oh, is that all one story? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So it's just, so remember, and like Blind Bargains, like cast like 12 or 13 or 5,
a long time ago. Yes,
it was ABC and audio description, and then you were all confused.
Yes, around the Netflix time, right?
You thought it was
about a year
ABC,
ago,
but it was really
the Australian
ABC
Broadcasting Company versus the American Broadcasting Company.
Well, they've been doing this thing for a while, and I just saw a post since the 15-month pilot. That's a long pilot, but they have a feedback form up. I don't know how long it's been up, but we never linked to it, so I put it up. So if you are using this iView service, which is in Australia, and you're listening to their described content, why not fill out the survey and let them know what you think and tell them to do more of it? But,
seems like the iPlayer is starting to be tested outside of the UK borders. So that would be really cool to have here in the United States as well, rather than Having to go through other weird means in order to watch some BBC content at the moment thereof. I'm just waiting for them to offer a Netflix-like service, a little different than what Acorn has, because Acorn is non-BBC stuff, so like Channel 4 and that kind of thing. Hulu has a lot of great stuff, but of course that's not audio described.
Nope.
That's really kind of... kind of sad. Netflix has said that they're going to have more audio content. The latest update for iOS even had voiceover fixes. Not that they haven't been adding them pretty regularly lately, and that has been very interesting to see.
I was going
to
hope for the website. And, yeah. You know, but that's it, folks. It's a slow week for news. Just a few things going on. Oh, by the way, Dave from Hims informs us they're looking for a tech support person. So if you are one of those great tech support minds and good at fixing people's problems and maybe know a little bit about the Blaze or the Braille Sense or note takers or can learn fast enough and you're willing to move to Austin, Texas, it's a really nice office. I went there last June.
Up on the north side.
Dealer meeting. Yeah, it's a nice office complex, very open floor plan, very modern. I think you might enjoy yourself working there. It's a great company. It seems like a good company to work for. So check them out. And if you are trying to get more information, should they contact Dave, do we think? I saw there was a post floating around.
Yeah, contact Hims directly. So contact the Hims office or go to HIMS-INC, HimsInc.com.
Yeah, there you go. And that'd be the best way. Well, and of course, it's tech support. And one of the big things of tech support is trying to find information. So I'm sure you can dig up the position.
Yeah, the contact info is there and definitely there. Reach out to those guys. After the break, we will have our interview with the Mystic Access crew, then sound off. And of course, food makes its triumphant return in formal fashion to the last word here on Barbecue 59.
Barbecue. Welcome back to episode 59 of the Blind Bargains Cast, and we're going to talk a little bit about tutorials, specifically audio tutorials from our friends over at Mystic Access. They've actually released quite a few new ones and some more upcoming, and here to talk about that is Director of Product Development Kim Loftus and Founder Chris Grabowski from Mystic Access to here talk about tutorials. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Here's Chris, and hey, Kim.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having us, JJ.
Not that we needed to do much clarification of which voice was which.
So true.
Figured that would be pretty obvious to most people. So you sent us the email suggesting that you might be interested in coming on a few weeks ago when we were talking about the Amazon Echo. And of course, we had our show a few weeks ago with Liam, and that's been a big topic of ours lately, and that kind of caught your attention. Like, hey, we're doing an Echo tutorial, so tell us a little bit about that and what's involved in that or what's in that tutorial.
It was really quite a monstrosity because it ultimately began as something that was supposed to be a couple hours. I thought, well, I'm going to sit down on a Sunday afternoon and outline something that may become a 2-2.5 hour tutorial. But I should know myself well enough by now to realize that anything that I say is going to be 2-2.5 hours is probably going to be about triple that. So once the outline really began to take shape, and the outlining process for me usually takes a day at least, a full day of just sitting down and saying, all right, what's going to be in this? How do I want to group it? How do I want to frame it up? How do I want to put it together? And find out what's going to be where and put it in a way that's intuitive and friendly and at the same time makes sense to the listener in such a way where one thing builds on another and you can use it as a foundation or you can use it as a deep dive. And Echo really became something of both. It's just about 6 hours and it really took on a life of its own. It kind of began as a lark and it was something Chris was going to do. And the more we talked about it, the more we thought, well, this maybe could become something potentially bigger than what we have originally talked about, and it's become one of our best-selling products. So it's actually quite a great thing that we put it together, but the entire thing from conception to outline to recording to editing and post-production probably took 3 to 4 weeks in terms of the whole thing, just because there's so much that goes into the editing process. Editing, at least for me, takes probably 3 times the amount of time that recording would take. So it's a long process. But ultimately, if you can take something out of it that the listener is going to benefit from and gain a lot of assistance from and support from, and you've given them kind of a friendly little ally to utilize while they're getting to know your piece of equipment, whether that be a Stream or an Echo or a Bluetooth speaker or a Braille Note Touch, you know, then that's fabulous. It's just more that they get to enjoy, and I feel fulfilled, even if it takes a long time to put a project together.
So who is the Echo tutorial specifically, and perhaps all your tutorials, but this one, who is it targeted as? I mean, is it more targeted as like a really beginning user or someone who might be newer to technology? Or do you feel there's nuggets in there that advanced users will get out of it as well? And what are some of the topics that are in it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the advanced user can find some definite nuggets of wisdom in there, in addition to even the curiosity seeker who's saying, well, do I really want an Echo? Is this something that would appeal to me? And do I want to spend the $39 at Mystic Access to find out if I want to spend $180 or $89 on a Dot or what have you? And it goes all the way from the initial orientation. Why do I want one? Is it accessible? The initial setup process, all the way through to music listening, Audible listening, Kindle listening, all the way to using your Echo in the kitchen and how she can assist you under those circumstances. So it really runs the gamut of stem to stern in terms of from the very beginning when you take it out of the box and learn to orient yourself in terms of what it looks like and how you want to begin utilizing it, all the way through to all sorts of cool applications, like the silly stuff you can say to her. One of the things that I wish I had put in the tutorial was, I didn't find out about until afterwards, was, Alexa, I need a hug. And she says something to the effect that, you know, oh, I'd love to do that, but I have no arms, but I'm still here for you, or something silly like that. So,
There's so many crazy, silly things like that.
I know. It's bizarre how much is available.
People are always finding new ones.
And absolutely.
The thing about the Echo, now, you know, you pinged us in February when we first talking about this, and you're starting to do your outline for your tutorial, and somewhere when you're doing your outline or in the middle of recording, new stuff comes out, the Dot and the Tap comes out. So how you adjust that? I mean, there's got to be some point where you say, well, look, we can't put any more new stuff in, we just have to release this. But how do you deal with a product that's changing so rapidly?
Yeah, you definitely have to update it in terms of what we're going to have to do. There are definitely some updates that are going to have to come out. In fact, usage on the Droid for the Droid app and the Fire OS app have improved immensely since the release of the tutorial. So I have to go back and do some updates. Once this touch project is over, there are a couple projects that actually need updates, Echo being one of them. Current customers who have already gotten it will get free updates to the tutorial. So that's great for them. And it's not going to be that bad, really, but I do want to put in a section about the Dot and the Tap and just a little bit of orientation and saying, this is what they are, this is how they differ. But honestly, I think the tutorial is so thorough at this stage that 95% of what's in the tutorial can really benefit both Dot and Tap users, in addition to
And you're Echo not going to cover everything. I mean, you can't cut, I mean, there's 500 skills now. It's like apps on the iPhone.
No, heavens, no, absolutely not. But, you know, there are a nice plethora of skills, and I hope that we've given people the tools to be willing to go in and interact and explore and play a little bit on their own while having explored a few really cool skills like zip code, area code, Aurora, earthquakes. I mean, there's some fun ones that I did go into and show them how to utilize those and just give them kind of a foundation, and then they can go run with it and play.
The earthquake skill, especially recently, could be one that given the international events, lots of things going on. Now, you said this one's $39?
$39.
Mm-hmm. So this one was $39. The Stream one that you mentioned a minute ago was a little bit more. So what goes into pricing one of these things? It's kind of like a calculation of how much time it took you, or?
Well, I think there's a lot of different aspects that go into pricing. It's not so much just a time thing. The Echo is something that has so much broad appeal that I knew I probably could have priced it at $49 and done okay with it. But I thought, you know, I think $39 would be a sweet spot for it, because even though I put this much time and effort into putting it together, we put so much into post-production, but nevertheless, it's something that's going to have so much universal appeal for so many people under so many different circumstances that $39 is going to be a pretty good spot where people can dive in and enjoy it. So we don't want to overprice anything or keep anything really out of people's reach. At the same time, we want to price it in such a way where we get something back for the time that went into it. In this case, Echo turned out to kind of find its little sweet spot with that $39 price range, just in terms of it's affordable for a lot of people to check out, particularly the curiosity seekers who weren't even sure they wanted one. And I've had multiple people come back to me afterwards and say, you've made me spend more money, but that's kind of the point. So, you know, it's great. If you want an Echo now, fabulous, awesome.
I know,
so there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, and I know as these things come out, I mean, I'm sure, I think you were already starting to work on this when our podcast came out, right? The Echo podcast, and that, you know, I certainly know, that must have, you know, not to be egotistical, but I mean, I know like we had a lot of people talking about it, you know, after we released that as well. So
actually,
it just kind of spawned into each other.
The Echo tutorial was released on February 5th.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
So that's okay. How, so it was out.
It's been out for quite a while.
But it's in general, the interest, as they've been adding more features, it's just really kind of, it's become taken on a life of its own. Where, you know, a year ago, the Echo was a product that didn't do a lot. And, you know, it's kind of.
And the website really was terrible developed. To use.
You're right. Yeah, the website, yep. A lot of these, the accessibility in general. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of improvements.
That was one of the things that we had talked about. If we were to do an Echo, because people were asking us back in the summertime, can you do an Echo tutorial? And we're like, no, because the website was horrible. I mean, you'd have to route mouse and click and do all kinds of things. And then you're teaching people how to use their screen reader versus how to use the Echo itself or the website itself. So once we found out that that website was accessible for configuration and things like that, then it was kind of a no-brainer too.
Now, you have a few others coming out. Let's talk about one that you have coming out that hasn't been released yet, but you have a deal going on with HumanWare. So this is a little bit different, where all your other ones, as far as I'm concerned, right? All your previous ones have been paid until this, or at least for the most part.
Yes.
But now you have one that's going to be bundled and given away to anyone who has the, I believe it's the Brownout Touch, correct?
Yeah, it's correct.
Who has it or who wants to get it. It's going to be available for free via our site and via humanware.com, so that anyone who's interested in even considering it or checking it out and wants to learn more can check out a really interactive tutorial on it and find out if it could be up their alley.
So you essentially, yeah, instead of, you pretty much, you worked with them. So instead of HumanWare producing their own little tutorial, they'd say, hey, these guys are already good at it. Let's just have them do it. And they must have liked your stream tutorial or gotten hooked on somehow. And they're like, hey, let's just have them do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that has been talked about since probably October, November. We didn't even know about what the machine was until January-ish. But it was something in HumanWare in the back of their mind where they thought, let's approach them and see if we could work out an arrangement.
So they approached you?
Yes.
They approached us.
Mm-hmm. They approached us.
Nice. Nice perk. I'm assuming you have one of these in your possession, at least at this
Absolutely.
Point. So you can play with it to write the tutorial.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. The idea of the tutorial is to have it out when the device ships.
All right. Do you know how detailed is this tutorial going to be? As far as do you have a length of this one?
6 to 10 hours.
Okay,
that's what we're contracted to do, is 6 to 10 hours. And at this point, I don't know exactly what we're going to end up with in terms of length, but it's steadily going and growing. So it just continues to expand every day. Every day, new stuff is being put out, put to bed. So it's an ongoing process. But we're quite happy with it thus far. It's coming along really nicely.
How much do we have to pay you to use Blind Bargains downloading an app as a deck? Hey, we got Greg to do it at the CSUN interview. So.
There you go.
Well, the funny thing you say that is there's going to be a part dedicated to third-party apps.
Well, great. Well, I know a couple. Well, no, actually, there's lots of great.
There's a lot out there.
You know, and there's been a lot of interest generated since we did the interview with Greg at CSUN, and we'll be definitely interested to follow where this goes. And so that's very cool that you guys were able to get that opportunity, and you get to keep it.
Yes.
We get to keep it. Yes.
There you go. Nice.
That's a nice perk of tutorial creation.
Yes.
Well, and all this new stuff, and you're like, oh, yeah, I need to buy this new text thing for a text write off because I want to see if it's going to work. I love it. Something that isn't so expensive is Voice Stream Reader, but you did a thing for that too.
Yeah, we got Voice Stream Reader. Lisa Salinger was instrumental in helping us put that one together. So she's been doing some work with us and some collaborations, which has been cool. There's also a sister tutorial, which is Writer, which is also available. So we've got two of the three now. We have to decide if we're going to do Mail, but we've got Reader and Writer now available.
Are they updated for version 4?
Yes.
So that was a really quick turnaround because version 4 just came out.
Yeah, well, Reader just came out, so.
Yeah, Lisa was a beta tester for version 4. So she was putting the tutorial together while she was beta testing
4.
Is this a full-time thing for you guys now? I mean, how big is the tutorial business?
Right. It's becoming more full-time in terms of from month to month. I expect it to be a full-time gig by the end of the year, certainly. I mean, things are...
Well, you want it to, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it's beginning to go very well, and we've been at this for... Not even a year officially now. The stream tutorial didn't come out until May of last year. So I was recording it this time last year, but it hadn't come out yet. So it's a pretty good gig, and things are really coming together. We've got some of those awesome customers imaginable. So we're very, very pleased about that. And people just continue to spread the word and find out more about us.
It's a market that's kind of, I'm thinking, you know, there were a couple companies, say 5-10 years ago, that were doing tutorials like this. Some of them were back on cassette way back in the day.
Yep.
But in more recent memory, it's kind of a market that's it's dried up. I mean, as far as like new content, there's people that have written books for the iPhone, especially, and some other stuff, but there really hasn't been as much in the tutorial space of late.
There hasn't, and it's something that we've talked to Greg extensively about recently, especially in terms of this touch, is that a lot of times those tutorials for us when we were growing up, and I don't know about for you, but we found those, or I found those, particularly like with the Braille and Speak back in the day and some of these products, when we had the tutorial, it was like a safety net or a foundational process that would kind of teach us how to do things in a very friendly way. And because we had that one-on-one seeming guidance, that we could learn to do things very, very quickly with the help of this tutorial. And I hope that what we're doing can become instrumental in somebody else's learning process, or at least give them a hand up in terms of learning how to do something more quickly, more efficiently, and most importantly, not feeling intimidated or scared to death trying to figure out how to accomplish a new task.
Well, tell you what, you know, we mentioned this Braille Note Touch tutorial, and you've already been working on somewhat, and you have, you sent us a little bit of a clip about that. So why don't we go ahead and let's play that right now.
All applications.
So you can see how this works. If I press a letter associated with one of the items within my main menu, I can move to it very quickly and easily. Those aren't all the apps in the main menu, but that's most of them, and you can see how quickly I can scroll around if I know which letter is associated with which app. However, there's a little more to Touch Braille than that. Before we have any more fun with Touch Braille, let me explain to you how it works. Before you can type on your screen with Touch Braille, you first must calibrate your fingers. The Touch calls this finger recognition. What you're doing is typing on the glass touch screen of your touch. This will likely feel like a strange, unfamiliar sensation for a bit as you get used to it. However, typing directly on the touch screen has many advantages. For one thing, it's very ergonomic. Once you get used to it, it's also quite comfortable. But perhaps the biggest advantage of all is that it's almost completely silent. No more listening to the clack of computer keys or, heaven help us, a Braille writer during a class, a meeting, etc. If you're going to use Touch Braille, those days are behind you. Also, because you don't have to press down hard when typing with Touch Braille, it's very easy on your wrists, and you can also type very quickly. Before you can begin typing in Touch Braille, you first need to calibrate your fingers. Fortunately, the Touch makes this very easy. What you need to do is to place all 10 fingers on the touch screen at once. When you do that, after a moment, you're going to feel a very short vibration. I attempted to record the sound of the vibration, so if you have headphones on, you may have been able to hear that a second ago. Once you feel the vibration, then you'll know that you are ready to type, or in my case, move by first letter navigation.
Internet, key web, planner, key plan.
And then I can successfully type P or I or C or whatever I want to easily move to that application on my Touch's main menu.
And there you go. There's a bit from the Braille Note Touch tutorial. You heard it here first.
You heard the Touch here first. Yes.
Right. You know, it seems like a really interesting device. We'll definitely have to see. Anything that, as you've been recording that tutorial, anything that really jumped out at you as, you know, does it feel like a Braille Note more than an Android? Is that the impression you're getting with it, or?
To some degree, yeah, except for Touch Braille. Touch Braille's a kind of a strange critter. It really, for me at least, took a lot of getting used to, and I've been a Braille reader and writer all my life, so.
And you have to get used to it, because then you have to figure out how do I get used to it, how do I explain it to someone else?
And how do I use it without looking like a complete, right. You know, it's like, okay, I have to be able
and not
to
only
use
explain it, how do you explain to someone else who you can't take their hands, like you have to describe, you know,
exactly. And that's why that particular part, like orientation, I hate doing orientations for tutorials because they take forever, because you have to kind of roll around in your head 4 or 5 times and go, how am I going to explain this in such a way where somebody else can picture it in their minds and really understand, you know, what is this all about? So it's
how are these packaged? Yeah. How are they? Do they come out on MP3 or are they Daisy or what's the formats you're sending these out
in? This one's going to be Daisy. The stream tutorial is Daisy. Echo's probably going to become Daisy, although currently it's an MP3 zip file. We also have an SD card option available for anyone who wants that. It's $10 additional and we'll ship you out an SD card with tutorials on there. So most of them are MP3 zips, but occasionally they're strictly a single MP3, like with VoiceStream Writer. That was just a little over an hour and that's one single MP3, but most of them are MP3 zips, and Touch is also absolutely going to become Daisy. So it just really depends on the tutorial, but we do hope that some of these that we've already done, and particularly going forward in the future, depending on how detailed the tutorial is, we absolutely want to Daisy fly some of them.
You mentioned going forward in the future. Any other beans that you can spill, or what tutorials that you're working on? Are you kind of looking for feedback, or do you have any ideas that you're thinking
about? We always love feedback. Anyone who wants to contact us and give us feedback, you're absolutely welcome to do so. I do have what I hope will be a really cool idea for the Kindle Fire coming out sometime soon. I think that's going to be my next baby in terms of a larger scale project. I'm also going to do an audible.com tutorial coming up sometime in the near future. I've been requested to do that like by half a dozen people or more. So that could be
that's interesting. That is on a lot of platforms. You could go a lot of different directions with that tutorial.
Absolutely. And you can do a whole lot of different things in terms of variety, show some different apps, you know, different platforms on terms of different apps available and, you know, what people can do with it. So it could potentially be a nice meaty tutorial. So that could be an interesting project.
How is the community been when it comes to tutorials and piracy? Has that been an issue for you guys? You know, MP3 compared to cassettes, it's pretty easy just to, you know, unfortunately to share these things nefariously.
They are, absolutely. But, you know, we felt very, very fortunate in terms of the people who have purchased from us. We've only had a couple instances where we even thought piracy was going on, and we're very vigilant in terms of paying attention and occasionally doing Google searches, trying to find out. And we've got some amazing clients who have actually come back to us and said, blah, blah, blah was trying to get your tutorial on blah, blah, blah list. So we've got our own spies, right. Which is great.
You got, you know, and there is a little bit of a level of trust there, I guess, yes. Right? I mean, there has to be for something
there has
like
to be.
This.
There has to be. I mean, I know a lot of people in the community who have experienced much worse situations than we have. But sure. We felt like we've got some of the most amazing customers imaginable and just had some really awesome situations, really good people, a lot of repeat customers who just continue to come back and come back. And that's really rewarding, ultimately. I mean, I think certainly there have been times when we've experienced it, but I have no problem shutting down somebody's Dropbox or SendSpace or any account if that happens. No one's going to do it if I can help it, particularly when stuff's been sent to the copyright office. You know, it's not going to happen.
Is it the three of you, you and Chris and Lisa, is that the team currently? Or
that's the team currently. Those of us who are actually doing the recording pieces of things, but we are the trio currently. I do most of the recording. Lisa's been stepping up and doing some things. There's a big project coming out with that. I won't say more about that, but she has something big in the pipeline for us coming up pretty soon. So there's lots of cool things happening. I'm the primary tutorial recorder person producer, but you know, it's all three of us. It really takes us all, and it's really good to have multiple people who can listen to something and say, what did you just say, or what were you trying to express, because this made no sense. So even having some good beta testers occasionally depending on the tutorial is a really nice thing.
Well, cool. Why don't you go ahead and tell people how they can get more information, purchase tutorials, or just read more and hear samples,
yeah,
whatever
absolutely.
They want to do.
Absolutely. You can visit us mysticaccess.com, mysticaccess.com. You can also check out the podcast for free at mysticaccesspodcast.com. You can email Chris and myself. Both of us will get it if you email us at info@mysticaccess.com. And if you want to call and actually speak to a human being, you can reach us at 716-543-3323. And we even have a little goodie surprise for your listeners.
Ooh.
If you enter the code BBQ at checkout, you will get 10% off between now and the end of the month.
awesome. And the end of this month being April 2016. Yep.
Yes.
I love discounts.
Yay, discounts.
We do it, it being blind bargains and all. We have to kind of stay true to our name. we at least do what we can. Well, hey, thank you so much, Kim, Chris. We really appreciate you guys coming on. And
thank you for having us
on the podcast. Awesome. Thank you so much. We got a lot more with a tip and last word all about food. Again, go figure. Coming up on episode 59 of the Blind Bargains cast. Earlier in the show, we mentioned how you can now listen to this podcast in yet another place, the Google Music Podcast service, which for now is available on the web, coming to Android, and then soon after will come to iOS. But it is on the web now, and you can use it to listen to the Blind Bargains cast and other awesome podcasts. So here is how that goes. First, we're going to go to www.google.com/music.
Run dialogue select www.com. Mozilla Firefox busy about colon blank busy about colon blank. Google Play Music busy. HTTP alert press request.
All right.
Blank.
And then we have our Google Play Music screen. This is where before you would listen to songs and radio stations, but now you can also do podcasts. So let's find the search box.
Toolbar search music combo box collapse editable as.
It still says search music, but that's okay. Blind. Bargains.
Bargains collapsed. Search results Google Play Music section.
And we'll have to do that. There we go. And if we're going to use H for headings.
Out of toolbar radio stations. Videos. Podcasts.
Videos. Podcasts. Oh, let's see what we have here.
Blank. Visit link Blind Bargains Audio featuring the BBcast, hey. Technology news, interviews, and more.
I've heard of that thing. Blind Bargains Audio. So, of course, the easiest way to do that is to just click on that. I'm going to press enter on this right here.
Blank.
And here comes a new page.
Toolbar combo box collapse, 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 out of toolbar button, play Blind Bargains Audio featuring the BBcast, technology news, interviews, and more.
Now, there's a couple of different ways you can do this. Let's just look at the screen here. There's the play button. That will just play the most recent episode.
Blind Bargains Audio featuring the BBcast, technology news, interviews, a TGI 49 episodes. The biggest names, the latest new interviews, blindbargains.com. Button read more. Button subscribe.
There's a subscribe button. Now, pressing that button will subscribe you to the podcast. It won't download the episodes, but it will kind of just be akin to following us, say, on TuneIn and other apps. So if you would do that, we would much appreciate it. I'm going to do that right here.
Button share. Button unsubscribe.
And now it says unsubscribe.
Button share.
We have a share button if you want to share this with your friends. We hope you do.
Table with 20 rows and 6 columns. Name. Description. Date.
And then the latest episodes.
Blank. Blank. Button play. Blind Bargains Cast 58. The Ace of Space.
So there's episode 58 from last week.
Name button. More options for Blind Bargains Cast 58. The Ace of Space.
And there's more options. The only thing under more options right now is share. So this is much like TuneIn. It's designed to play the podcast. It's not really designed to download them. In fact, that's not even an option here. But you can play
button
them.
Play. Blind Bargains Cast 58. Hit. The Ace of Space.
Enter on this. The echo coming up as a theme, and there was a new echo that came out. Dot. We have Dot. And you notice it actually cut in a couple minutes into the podcast. That's because I was already listening to episode 58 when I was preparing for this tip. So it remembered my spot and brought me back up. So how do I play and pause and do all that stuff? Well, there's a nice list of keyboard shortcuts that you can get when you press question mark, but I'll give you a couple. Space plays and pauses. Let's go out of browse mode. That's the easiest way to do these commands. You could also do insert F2 to pass a single command through. But remember, it's like a lot of other web apps. You got to be out of browse mode for much of this stuff to work. So play and pause a space.
The dot coming up.
Ooh. We can do volume, which is equals in dash, not up and down arrow like you might expect.
Means we'll have to get somebody like Liam to do the
so tap, there's dash.
And we have the tap and the dot and the no way.
Shift right and left arrow will fast forward and rewind.
Galaxy right here.
To some of that, I love the people.
And just right arrow, we'll go to the next episode right away without delay. There it is.
Greetings, everyone. Joe Steinkamp here with the second audio from.
And that was from last week of one of our hymn specials.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Blind Bargain.
And I print left arrow, we're back to episode 58. There's more commands that you can use, which work in a lot of other music apps. Now, some of the commands like radio stations and things really apply to music. They don't apply to podcasts, at least yet. It'd be kind of cool to do a podcast radio station, wouldn't it, to kind of bounce around between podcasts? But as far as I'm concerned, that's not available yet. And I tried shuffle. I was not able to shuffle our podcasts either. But lots of commands available with question mark. Unfortunately, this is still running Flash. Well, they're going to have to change that at some point in history. What I do for Flash, I'm in Firefox here, and I selectively allow it for certain pages. I don't want Flash bucking up my web experience. So I will specifically allow Flash for certain websites and pages. But it does use it currently. Hopefully, at some point, they'll have an HTML 5 interface as well. So that's how you can listen to us using Google Play Music. Again, that's at google.com/music. and coming soon to Android and iOS as well. Yet another way you can listen to the BBcast. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Welcome back, everyone. And now we will start going into the big bag of feedback that we have. And we'll start off with another comment on the new iPhone SE.
This is from, how do you say MCOURCEO? That's a name that pops up a lot. McCorso?
It's a regular. Yeah.
He or she's a regular contributor. And if you're listening, let us know how to pronounce that because I don't know. Just saying, talking on the iPhone SE article, that's our contributor Scott Davert sent in. It said, great order overview. I've also been tempted to go for the SE because of its smaller size. And yeah, I mean, that's just as you were saying, Joe. That's just a simple comment. Size does matter for a lot of people with the iPhones. And there you go.
The way we kind of have it now here in the house is that one of us can get the S model and the other one can get the whole number model for testing. And
that's good. And you can always have the latest.
And that's actually why it's sometimes easier to just buy Google phones outside of contract for testing, because A, they come down really cheap, or B, if you just get one that you know is going to run the latest next two versions of Android, you're good to go. You don't run into as many hardware issues as you would in an iPhone for testing for various things. And by that, I mean, of course, 3D touch, if you're testing that for a company, which some are starting to add that kind of thing to it. Same way that you're seeing that kind of swell of Apple Watch enabled apps start to slow down a bit.
The swell of Apple Watch classifiers got disapproved one a few minutes ago.
just
put one of them up again. Apple Watches are pack baits this year.
Our very, very own Michael Deuce had said that the new MacBook line that was refreshed the day of recording did not entice him to buy a new one. The new MacBook thinner MacBooks
I'll give him a couple weeks.
Have Skylake. So I'll wait till the reviews come out. That's when he breaks.
Right.
When the reviews come out, the next one will be, does he upgrade his PlayStation and Xbox? Because this week we heard some rumors about an updated 4K enabled Sony PlayStation. And there's a rumor going around E3 also in June that Microsoft will follow with a Xbox 1.5 or whatever they want to call it. So definitely new hardware for some individuals or some who want to use virtual reality headsets, which seem to be sprouting up this holiday season.
I'm amazed how you took the comment about the iPhone SE and segued it all the way over to E3.
Yep.
Now
I'm all excited.
We're getting all the way back to
convention season. So we've got I/O, we've got E3, we've got...
Now get me from E3 back to Braille, because that's the next...
What I would like to see, if Bryce is listening over at Xbox, is some Braille display support off the Xbox. So we already have Narrator.
Oh, really?
Like what I did there? I tried. Yeah. I definitely went in that direction. I could have said that I was reading a Braille display on an iOS device using my Xbox Smart Glass. I had two paths.
Let's go with that one, because this is Jan Brown talking about the year of Braille and her iPad Pro.
Oh, perfect.
And says, I'm glad to be confused about Braille displays. I want a Braille display to be able to write with it and jot down a number. She says quite a few things, but the point that she gets down to is she hopes that Braille displays don't continue to be focused on just reading and not writing. She's like, if I'm going to have a Braille display, I'd want to read and write on the same thing. I mean, that's in some reference to...
Kind of a step-up feature, though, Jan. A lot of companies would tell you that they would agree with you. How'd you like to pay for that? Now, naturally, there are a lot of people yelling at their MP3 player saying, I'm already paying enough for Braille. Come on.
Well, and the cost... And she says, and I think... I don't know. I haven't engineered this, but... The cost of adding a keyboard to a Braille display is probably minimal. The big cost is the dots. Now, that being said, there is a size cost, and some people do prefer that portability. So,
And there's also a difference in manufacturing and mechanisms. And when you get into injection molding, it can actually cost a lot more. So inputting just buttons or changing a configuration and adding things to the circuit board might not cost a lot, but in the manufacturing of the casing, of the buttons, of the switches can be kind of pricey, and you have to kind of sort of say, how many do we think we're going to sell versus how many we're going to actually sell?
Well, that's why you can't have, you know, if you try to do four or five, you know, I don't know how Baum hasn't been able to do in a lot of, you know, they had like a couple of their lines. There was like a 24, a 32, a 40, a 64. And I, whoa, man, how many different ones can you do here? It seems to me at some point you'd gain some efficiency by only having two or three, which is what most of the other companies.
It was weirder when there was things like the Voyager that had 70 or, you know, weird 64 combinations. We heard
a Braille display page sorted by number of cells. I feel like we're only missing like a 26 and like a 34 at the moment.
And then we heard the interview that I did with Mr. Bradburn of Baum, where he said a lot of people will look at that, but the average size of the Braille display that's purchased through them is a 40 cell.
No. Well, I mean, if you're going to go, I mean, I have trouble justifying those ones in the middle. I feel like you're either going to get the smaller one for your desk, you know, to carry with you, right, like a 20, or you're going to get the larger one to have on your desk. So I don't
know. I think, again, it depends on what you're doing a lot of or the most of. And if you're doing a lot of proofreading, then larger cells are much better. Absolutely. If you're doing something with credit card numbers or phone numbers, the smaller Braille displays are not going to be your friend. You're going to find yourself very frustrated.
You can't even put an entire credit card number on a 14. So we have one. Lily GH, speaking of expensive, we have an event for the blind in Copenhagen. Do you have a contact? Well, hey, I'd love to do it.
Yeah. You know, but that's cool. But there are international listeners. And of course, our friends over there, like Brian Hartgen and Dave Williams and others, who could probably get to that a little easier than we could.
Yeah. You know, as a dealer, probably not going to get over there, but you never know. You know, certainly.
Lainey Feingold just presented over internationally. I was reading her Twitter feed and she had done one. I think it was one of her first international law disability conference things that she's done, which was really exciting to read. Would love to, actually. And it is Ricky and I's desire one day to go to the U of K and do
Sight Village. Just get my passport renewed, so.
Oh, really? Oh, dude, I'm set. I'm up to date. It's how I fly. Don't even take the state ID anymore. Just take on the passport.
Yeah, just take it wherever you can go. It's pretty pretty interesting.
Versatile.
It's making my mouth water for what?
Yeah.
Honey nut.
Uh-huh.
Coffee nut and chili nut.
M&M's. It's the last word, everyone. One of the big things on Twitter this week for me were people talking about the brand new M&M's. Lisa Salinger and a good friend, blind educator, Luis, were talking back and forth. And I got in the middle of this and then retweeted it. And then more people started talking about
none of these sound good to me.
These flavors, which if you haven't followed in the past, M&M's likes to try different flavors generally around this time, right after Easter. And these are the new flavors. Coffee nut, I think I could do. Chili nut, I've had. Well, you have it. Maybe. Up there at the Alamo. You're closer to an Alamo draft house. There's an ancho chili chocolate shake at the Alamo, which is awesome.
I would say I'm about a block away from the Alamo. Sure. It's right behind the office almost.
Good. The Alamo draft house has an amazing menu, and usually they'll tailor it for whatever movie's coming out. They also have some great collectible pint glasses as well. Not to make a big ad for the Alamo.
Any of the honey, past M&M flavors?
I don't know that I want honey.
This reminds me of peanut butter strawberry.
Yeah, I've had the cheesecake one. They had New York cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake.
That can work.
They've had white chocolate ones, which Buddy Brandon would hate a lot, anything to do with white chocolate, as he's been famously known to say. I have found that the dark chocolate ones that come around, usually around every Star Wars movie, are really good.
So what? The dark chocolate. These are all limited time, right? So, right. Like, I can't buy any of the past ones. You can find them at
Target. Target generally has the limited edition Oreos. They generally have the limited edition M&M's. Target,
your source for weird food stuff.
Correct. Sometimes exclusives too, which is even weirder. Not to mention that they have their own in-store brand Archer Farm stuff. The chip flavors also can sometimes be the best place to find, either in a convenience store like a 7-Eleven or at Target. So the Lay's Summer of Flavor is where we were finding a lot of those for end of line. And we've eaten a lot of those in the past. And I have a sad history of eating all sorts of terribly flavored stuff. Fruit Punch Oreos being the most
famous one. I feel like your goal in life, to forget all your jobs, would just be to write for Impulsive Buy or Grubgrade or one of those.
I'm a child of marketing. I grew up with television. What can I say? I'm easily influenced.
I just feel like that would be your thing. I don't know. You know, you just want to be able to eat as much as you can.
It was nice to have a tax write-off for more than 3 years. So what can I say?
Hey, there you go. food is a tax write-off. Maybe I should have researched this story. I'd have to go to St. Joseph, Missouri to a specially built McDonald's that's opening this summer. And among the features of it, stealing a playbook item from Red Robin, unlimited French fries.
Oh, man. But
McDonald's French fries.
Oh, man. I want to go to there. That would be
and
nice.
And also an assumably inaccessible touchscreen, customize your burger kiosk. Well, yeah,
there's that too. More than likely. I would go there just in case they had unfettered, freshly minted boxes of McDonaldland cookies that are not from
I miss those,
1999.
Everything about this McDonald's is not McDonald's. They're going to they'll bring your food to your seat.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're going to have couches.
Burger King tried that like 14 years ago, 12 years ago. They tried international sandwiches too, which also Wikipedia.
The only thing that, you know, the McDonald's breakfast is cool. Now, here's a question for the listeners then. Mm-hmm. McDonald's fries are one of those crave items that I think I would kind of go for having an extra French fry.
You go get your burger at Burger King and then go around the block to McDonald's and get the fries. Right. Yeah. No, been there. I've done this.
I don't like the Burger King burger. I can't do it.
Sacrilege.
What would you want? What else? You know, French fries unlimited, TGI Fridays had unlimited appetizers. You know, is there an item that you wish you could have unlimited?
Have you ever gone into that huge McDonald's in Orlando? It's
the two-story one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they tore that down and they built a new one in its place. They tore it down.
I went there about 5 or 6 years ago. So it's been since
January. They tore it down and they're building an even bigger one.
This
McDonald's had pizzas. It had like a Subway counter, so you could actually build sandwiches, and it looked like a giant box of fries on the side.
Oh, I mean, I knew about the big play area and everything else. I didn't know you'd get pizza. I'm not sure if I trust McDonald's pizza, but...
And it's going to have even more stuff, and it's a very famous building on International Drive. Looked like a box of French fries on its side, and was something that I would like to go to. Well, okay, it was something Dad really had to go to more than any of us in the family. Every time we went to NFB convention, that my father for some reason really was admired the amount of people that would come to this McDonald's, the type of people that would come to this McDonald's, and it was a great melting pot of individuals. But this past Christmas was its final opening, and they have torn it down to build an even.
And they don't have unlimited French fries.
No,
just saying,
they don't. Yeah,
so that being, it's a test test, you know, concept. So we'll see what happens.
Like McBeer, and there was McPizza. McDonald's occasionally tries gourmet salads every 4 or 5 years.
For some reason. Gives up on that too.
Yeah.
Okay, this is all just making me hungry. Let's wrap this.
Wrap it? Oh, okay, cool. All right. Well, if you have any questions or comments, or you just want to leave us your idea of what fast food is your favorite, you can do so right in the comments section over at blindbargains.com. Head on over to the audio section and find episode 59. Jump to the bottom and leave a comment for us there. It might be used on the show. You could also write us at feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us at twitter.com/blindbargains.
Yes, feedback@blindbargains.com. I'll put that dot in, too. That
that might help a little.
It really will work better. Yes, you tweet us at Blind Bargains. Of course, if you want AT Guys stuff, go to atguys.com, and I will mention some of these. Again, if you're listening right away when we release this, I'm going to be in Chicago on April 23 at Second Sense. And Livonia, Michigan, April 28 and 29 at MAER. NFB Utah, the weekend of May 5, 6, and 7 in Ann Arbor for Visions, May 11th. And then more coming up later in the year. So stay tuned for that.
A tour shirt made of Braille. You just, you know, run your fingers across his back and it'll tell you where he's going to be at next.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks to our friends from Mystic Access, Chris and Kim, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And maybe they can work on a touchscreen tutorial for the McDonald's.
French fries?
Yeah, the French fries.
That way they can also tell us what flavors of shake are available. That would also be helpful.
Thanks so much, folks. We'll see you next week.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.